Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hello. Thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. How are you guys? We have a new face today.
There's a guest in the Boggy Talk studio.
You may recognize
his voice.
What are you asking me to introduce myself?
Who are you? Who is this mystery man?
Who in the world is...
P.T. Tidwell.
So we are joined by P.T. Tidwell, and the title of this week's episode is, Who the Heck is P.T. Tidwell?
Love that.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm so good. I'm excited to be here. Glad to be in the office. Started back yesterday. It's just exciting times.
Yeah.
It is exciting times, and it's a busy time, too. It's kind of like an in-between time, because we're ramping up for some big events for the church, like Serve Day is coming up. What else is coming? Easter.
Serve Day, Easter are really the big things.
Good Fridays
in there.
Oh, yeah.
And spring break when everyone disappears for a few days.
Right,
and
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like after spring break, then people are like, oh, okay.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know. And they try, but people are getting that spring fever for sure. So.
And our students had a refresh weekend this past weekend. Mm-hmm, had a great time. So
they had a big group this time.
It was a big group.
Yeah, that's
and,
exciting.
So last year they divided guys and girls, and this year they were all together. And, you know, there's pros and cons of those things.
Right. I'm sure they all enjoyed it.
I'm just curious what love sparks happened over this weekend in our student ministry, right?
You never know. You never know.
Oh,
man, we got to get the intel on that.
I'm sure we'll get some. Well, this episode is going to be coming from a series of episodes where we're just getting to know some of our staff members a little bit better and focusing on issues that are specific to the church. So today's episode, we're getting to know PT better. So, PT, how did you find Church on Bayshore? What happened?
Oh, man.
What happened here?
Oh, it's so good. So, I actually...
Well, hold on real quick. Let's clarify your role, because there's people who are like, what is he doing?
Okay.
And we hired PT to fix everything that's wrong with the way that I've led worship.
What?
So... Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
No. So PT's official title is Worship Ministry Associate. So he is helping provide oversight to the worship ministry, both for Sunday mornings and working alongside Jacob in our student ministry, helping in student worship. And then other things that, I mean, you're an ordained pastor, so other things that a pastor does, shepherding, caring, all those things. So there's some clarity on what you're actually doing. So,
so good.
Now back to the host's question.
Yeah. How did Church on Bayshore find you?
Oh, wow. That's a different take on that. Mm-hmm. So I grew up here in Niceville.
Okay.
Lived my whole life here in Niceville until I went to college. God called me and my family to a number of different places, but most recently that was India. We were serving as missionaries in India, and when the Lord called us back here to Niceville, which this is the first time that my wife's lived here, and my kids have lived here. We've visited it over the years.
Okay.
Just over this past summer, the Lord relocated us back here. And just as we kind of started out, like I grew up in one church and always went to that church with my family growing up and did not have a ton of exposure to just what God was doing in different communities and local church bodies throughout Niceville. So as we came back, my wife Rachel and I were just kind of discerning, like, we want to get a feel for what the Lord is up to in different communities, even ones outside of, like, our denomination. And so we just spent some time going and just praying through, like, seeing what God was doing. And it was a really, really sweet time. God is doing really amazing things just throughout Niceville and this North Florida region. But eventually, as we came, the Lord just kept drawing us back to Church on Bayshore.
Yeah.
Just love the fidelity to preaching the Bible and to worshiping through the Word and worshiping through song. And
yeah, that's awesome.
And here you are.
And
here
then
we are.
The rest is history.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So what did you do in Denver?
Denver.
You mentioned Denver.
Yeah. So after college, my wife and I were just praying through like whether or not we should immediately go overseas. But we decided just through counsel and through prayer that I should go to seminary. So I ended up going to Denver Theological Seminary. It was there that we really got involved in church planting. I eventually became ordained as a SBC Southern Baptist pastor with the church that we were at, Summit Church in downtown Denver. So we were just involved in church planting and ministry there in the urban core of Denver. That was for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Until the Lord began to just kind of shape us and lead us to eventually be sent out by that same church to be missionaries in South Asia.
So you went to India. Were you guys with the International Missions Board then?
We were. Okay. Yeah, we went with the IMB, the International Mission Board, and we were there for 3.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was that at the height of COVID? That time?
It was kind of in the midst of COVID.
Okay, wow.
It was actually kind of coming down. I mean, did COVID ever really happen in Florida? I don't know. I mean, in Denver, it was a totally different experience.
Florida moved on really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
What's crazy is like I was reading the news as things were like really bad here, and I was thinking like, it's crazy that this is all over the world, but news had not really come out of India about it being bad yet. And I was
that's true. Yeah.
And it was like, and they were like, it's not bad, but it really was, but they were saying it wasn't. And then I was like, that's, if anywhere I've ever thought I've been, I think it would catch like wildfire, but because of just the culture and how densely populated even the rural areas are.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
And then it was terrible in India.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when we were in Denver with COVID, lockdowns were really wild there. You know, it's a much more blue state now, and especially in the urban center. And so we basically moved to India as it started to free up in Denver, and they were starting to have like concerts and restaurants and all these different things again, which we had not had throughout. What year was that? 2020?
What year was
2021?
Right. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, so we ended up going to India in 2021, and then that was when like some kind of second strain came out. And so when we first landed on the ground there, we basically had to then quarantine, and we were only allowed to go out like a couple times a week for like groceries and things like that. So that was a really wild time just to land and begin to learn language and try and be there to engage with people. But then you're like locked down, and it was a different
So can you talk about some of the things that you did in India? You guys were missionaries there, and you had your family.
Yeah.
But before we do that, you said the words urban core earlier. And I just feel like anytime someone's like, PT, what's up with your short pants? You just need to be like, dude, it's urban core.
Oh, and there you go.
And they'll just be like, all right.
That is ridiculous.
You just do it.
Oh, man, that's so funny. You would be surprised how many people comment on the length of my pants.
On your pants.
I'm not surprised. Like, for me, it was the color of my pants when I first started. And
the color?
Yeah. What do you mean? Because we couldn't, like, wear jeans on Sunday yet when I came here.
Really?
And so
Slacks only.
Yeah, and so I just bought a bunch of different colors and, like, literally a comment card. Like, the connection card was used as a comment card to say I shouldn't wear. Anyway, moving on. It's just funny.
Navy and like, black. Okay,
listen, that's just to testify. This church is come a long way.
We've grown.
And Jesus. Yeah, it's good. And I say that as a joke because
thanks for paving the way. So
literally,
don't care about your short pants.
That's so good.
Oh man.
All right. So
you brought the short pants to India.
Then so
I did, and actually they would comment on my pants there as well.
So
this is transcultural.
Listen.
Okay.
That's right.
But yeah, so we were involved in church planting in Denver, helping just to plant healthy, gospel-centered, Bible-believing Orthodox churches there in Denver. But God just really put on our heart just the least-reached peoples of the world. So we would be preaching and teaching and talking about these things, praying through these things. And eventually it was just like, we got to sink our teeth into it.
Yeah.
So we sort of went through the process with the IMB and had always been kind of championing that even as we were pastoring in Denver. And basically when we went out there, our focus was to just really engage with church planting then in unengaged, unreached areas of the world. So basically what that means is like places where they're not hearing the name of Jesus, where there aren't believers, where there's not churches, Oftentimes in these people groups, there's not even like Bibles in their primary language. And so when we first got to the region where we were, there were 31 unengaged people groups. By the time that we left, that number was down to like 24. Wow. And still just leaders are being raised up. Basically, our focus is to really just see local indigenous ownership of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
To see that multiply in those incredible regions in some of the least reached areas of the world. So,
yeah, which is really what we want to see here too, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like ownership of like, the gospel multiplication. Yeah.
Totally. Engaging in like core practices of the faith that we see flowing out of the Great Commission, like evangelism, discipleship, raising up new leaders, seeing new fellowships form, and then developing the people who then God puts in places of leadership in that context. So that's really what we were focused on. We weren't focused on like us becoming these like white pastors and you know, not that at all. It was like trying to play the background and mobilize and lift up others from the local community.
Absolutely.
That's good.
So you ended up moving back to your hometown.
Yes.
Boggyville.
Boggy Bayou.
That's right.
And it was not Boggy Bayou when I was growing up. That changed in 1910.
That's right.
To Niceville. I've always known it as Niceville.
Wait, it was actually called?
It was actually called Bayou.
I did not know
Boggy
that.
Boggy Bayou, yes.
Wow.
Listen, if you go back and read,
that's what we're here
for. If you go back and read like the church history of like this church, like the document that we have that's like our actual church history, it says that moved, I can't quote it exactly, but it basically says moved by compassion for the destitute people of Boggy Bayou, these people from Defuniak Springs came. Because at the time, Defuniak was the biggest city around, and it was because of the springs was kind of the hub. Yeah, so if you go back and read it, it's crazy, right?
That's good. I like that you know this kind of stuff, Justin.
Well, you know, it just that's
also like that you correctly pronounced Defuniak.
Did I? I didn't know.
Yes.
What's the wrong way?
People say Defuniak all the time, and it drives me crazy.
I feel like you would say Defuniak.
No,
poor girl. Come on.
Defuniak. Come on. There was like Defuniak or Defuniak. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It looks like it. But, anyways. Squirrel moment. So, how did you end up back in Niceville then?
Yeah, if you
he took an airplane.
We did. Yes, and so. It was very long. Very long. And I promise you, my wife and I talk about it all the time. You see these bags under our eyes. Cool. Basically, every time we would take these flights, we would lose years off of our life, especially
hard.
With four young kids.
Yeah,
so, I mean, basically, if you were to ask my wife about being in Niceville, then she would say, she would have never expected to ever live here. It was not on our radar at all. We loved living in Denver. We even loved living in India as well. But essentially, kind of the makeup of our family, like we loved the work that we were doing in India. Mm-hmm. Just getting to proclaim the gospel. There really is just nothing like being able to share the salvation and the grace and the knowledge of Jesus with people who have literally never heard his name. So that was very transformative for us just as a family. But eventually it just became clear for a number of different reasons, which is another podcast, that it was not going to be sustainable long term, even though that had originally been our goal, was for us to move there. We're fluent in the language. We're, you know, growing in those things. We had a long term vision for that, but eventually it just became clear it was not going to be sustainable for a number of different reasons, unique needs in our family. We have a special needs son whom we adopted and through foster care. And so, yeah, basically the Lord led us back and we were kind of discerning through a number of different locations and places. And the Lord just led us to Niceville to come and be around just the support of family and kind of a just different pace of life than what we had experienced in both Denver and India.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why
that's
back
awesome.
Here. And,
well, you came back to Niceville, but then there you were doing a lot of church planting. So now you're in a little bit of a different role. So why worship ministry? How did God lead you to that?
Yeah, so why worship ministry? I mean, even in the church planting that we've been a part of, that's always been part of the flavor of ministry that I've done as well, has been just helping to pastor and shepherd and shape people through worship, through song specifically. It's just a really sweet way that the Lord has worked just uniquely throughout the course of my life. But I think if you look even at the scriptures, it's like you have the reality of, I mean, there's different categories of worship, but I think on just like a macro level, you have like, I think about Romans chapter 12 that talks about like after Paul's unpacked all this beautiful doctrine for the first 11 chapters, he comes in verse 1 of chapter 12 and he says, therefore I appeal to you brothers and sisters by the mercies of God that he's just been unpacking to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. Right.
Yeah.
And he talks about not being then conformed to the patterns of this world, but being transformed through the renewal of your minds. And so I think just looking at the nature of like what worship is, if it's, you know, oftentimes what we think of first in our modern day is like we think about music,
singing,
we think about all of those types of things. And that is obviously an aspect of worship in one category of it. But on a macro level, it's like all of life is worship. Yeah. We were made by God. We were made for God. And music, and specifically music in the corporate gathered context, is just like one really sweet means that God has given us to graciously like shape us as worshipers of Jesus who are made by him and for him. And so, I don't know, that's just been a really, like, we are worshipers, and whether we're pastoring and leading people through preaching and teaching or through discipleship in small groups or through music, like, that's been a big part of my life and my burden and my passion.
Yeah. So.
Well, so what are some of the things that has shaped or influenced your theology of worship?
Theology.
Yes.
With the air quotes.
With
I
the
like
air
that.
Quotes.
Theology,
you know?
Of,
theology
worship.
Of worship.
Yeah. I mean, the Bible.
Good answer.
Good. Jesus.
Jesus.
YouTube. If you started with YouTube, we would be like, oh,
oh no.
Still in his 30 days, you know.
That's right. That's right. You're just still in probationary period.
Am I actually, though?
I don't know. Does that exist?
Well, it did exist.
Okay.
But yeah.
You had like a 90-day probationary year.
Yeah, that was...
It was a long runway of awkwardness, so it's all good.
But we made it through, y'all.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah.
My theology of worship, I mean, I say that, but it's not even tongue-in-cheek, really, like the Bible. Mm-hmm. Again, I was kind of just alluding to it, well, specifically referencing it before, but you look at like pivotal passages like Romans 12 that's talking about like all of life, our bodies, our entire lives being offered as a sacrifice, which is our spiritual or spirit animated worship, right? I think about other passages that kind of come to mind, like Colossians 3:15, where basically in that whole chapter, Paul's been like, you know, if then you have been raised with Christ, then set your mind on things that are above. And then at the end of that, kind of the culmination of that, he says, then let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, right? So that's our call. That's what our desire is as a church. That's what ought to be shaping us as individuals, as well as like to see the word of Christ dwell among us richly. But then he follows that up with like, how do we do that? And he says, through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, right? And then the posture that we do that with is by giving thanks to God. And then he goes on to say, like, and give glory to God with all that you do, whether you eat or drink and all that. So I just think those types of passages have really shaped just my understanding of what worship is. And, you know, it's actually kind of one of those pet peeves when people just kind of pigeonhole worship as
the song.
just music.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was, yes, I know. It just... Yes, we have that in common. I remember going somewhere, like it was a bunch of pastors, and I was talking to one of the worship pastors who was in this, and it's a church in the area, and he was like, so tell me like your church's top three songs. And I was like, and he was like, I mean, because if you tell me your top three songs, I can basically tell you everything I need to know about your church. And I was like,
okay.
Can you? Okay. I was like, you tell me your top three, and he told me his three. I don't remember that. I remember thinking, yeah, you just told me everything I didn't know about your church.
It's
you told me everything I didn't know about the church by asking that question.
Yeah, it's actually not that far off, but I mean, it is a massive part.
It's huge. Because it's a reflection of who we are, and I think that's something that this church has valued for a long time. I mean, I think you know, previous prior to us being here, you know, Dennis Brown, who was the worship pastor here for almost three decades. I mean, he was a good musician.
Yeah.
But he was a pastor first, and everyone who knew him knew that about him. And that's what this church, you know, after he moved to heaven, like, you know, and I moved here, they were looking for someone who's a great musician, but also like shepherd first, you know. And when we were looking for who would join the team in this capacity, you know, yes, you want somebody who can help. I mean, you got to be able to lead, you got to carry a tune, you got to be proficient in leading people. But preeminent above all that is shepherding, is this a pastoral role. And that's been a value of this church. And so it's really awesome to be, and humbling to be part of that, I think, you know, given the history of this church. And that's been the desire for a long time. Mm. Yeah.
So if you could kind of, I know you maybe said this already, but summarize, what's your heart for Church on Bayshore in worship?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's you just brought up like the kind of contrast of like musicianship versus shepherding. And at the end of the day, it's like my heart is to shepherd and point people towards the chief shepherd, Jesus, right? I don't desire, and we don't desire as a church, to be about any other one person or personality or than the person and personality of Jesus, right? I want that to be the cry of my life and our ministry and of our church community. So you were talking about the difference between musicianship and kind of shepherding. It's wild to me because like that often gets flipped, you know, with the huge rise of just the modern kind of worship movement. It is crazy to me to see all of the younger generation coming up who are just like, oh, I want to be like a worship pastor. And we just didn't really think about that like when I was growing up. And I know really even before that as well, just like, oh, I grew up and I want to be like a worship leader. Like that's kind of...
Yeah, there wasn't a category decades ago.
In ministry, Whitaker, and now it's like its own...
Yeah, Carlos Whitaker, he's a former worship leader. He said something about that. He's like, the modern contemporary Christian worship movement basically gave the opportunity for any talented kid who wanted the eyes on them to use Jesus as a means to get attention.
Yeah, totally. And you see that happening. And I think that's a great burden of mine. Like, I don't, this isn't about wanting to be like, cool, the person who has the guitar and you're on a platform and you have a microphone and all these different things like that. It's so easy to become just idolatrous, to be honest. Like just to have a heart of idolatry where you actually become on the throne instead of Jesus being on the throne. And I think especially that becomes very attractive to people. And so for me, I think my great desire is just to see like a church and a community who is worshiping through the word, you know, as it's preached, from the things that we say, the things that we pray, the things that we exhort and encourage, to the scripture that we're reading, to the songs that we're singing, like desiring to see us singing songs that are deeply theological, that are help pointing and shepherding and just pushing our hearts towards the one who made us and who we were made for. Yeah. Like, we need communion with him. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's my desire, you know, for our church. So,
well, that's super encouraging. It's been really neat to watch both of you guys just work together and see all the incredible things that are coming out. So,
I mean, do you have any direct feedback for PT from rehearsal last night? I'm just kidding. Kelly's singing.
No, it was great. It was great.
Well, I think what's cool, I mean, you're involved in worship ministry, and we've got, I mean, there's a lot of people involved in worship ministry, from, you know, all three services, the band, choir. And I think, you know, in rehearsal last night, we were talking, just exhorting the choir, and you had exhorted the worship team too. It's like, hey, what a privilege this is to lead. And really, it's a picture of, as a team, you know, if you look at the worship ministry as a microcosm of the church, it's a chance to exhibit what Paul writes in Ephesians 4 of like submitting one to another out of reverence to the Lord, that which you were talking about. Like, it's not about one person leading everything. It's like we're trying to, and Pete, I know this about you, like it's really your heart to give more and more leadership away, and you've already been doing that in a good way, and not just giving it away, but equipping people to do it, not just delegating and letting it go.
Because we're not competent to do it.
But it's, you know, that's the goal. Ephesians 4, I mean, if Ephesians tells tells us that you know, our job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, mm-hmm. No matter what we're responsible for, and that's a piece of that. And I know that's your heart, and it's just a picture of like we get to do that together, and it's fun. Yeah. It's fun to lead worship together mm-hmm. with people that you know are like we're all dialing in, like. And when someone's singing your part, no one's like, "That's my part." Everybody's like, "All right, you're there. I'm gonna jump down," mm-hmm. and we just roll. Yeah. And it's just that's what we should do as the church, you know.
Well, and I think you know, as somebody who is a member of this church, it's encouraging to all the people that you know are preaching, teaching, you know, leading worship. Like, I know that is them in their authentic self, you know. Mm-hmm. I know that they live that. And so that to me is so encouraging mm-hmm. that it's, you know, they are living out the walk. They really believe these things. They're not just mm-hmm. saying it. They're not just having an emotional moment or experience. Like that is who they are. Mm-hmm. And you know, that God has transformed their hearts and they are beholding him in that moment and, you know, thanking him for that. And so mm-hmm. I think that's very encouraging to
see.
Well,
I think that's what worship is. Another thing that I would say too, that's just like near and dear to my heart is, you know, in 1 Corinthians, when it's kind of Paul's talking about just the gathered time of God's people. And he's talking about how it's all to be done to the edification and to mm-hmm. grow in maturity in Jesus. And he's like, someone brings a hymn and a teaching and a song and a word. Mm-hmm. And all of it is to be done to be like drawing us into fuller maturity in Jesus. Mm-hmm. But in 1 Corinthians 14:25, kind of the end result is like, even as unbelievers or outsiders come into that gathered time of God's people, as they observe the authentic worshiping of God's people, as they see people who are faithful to the scriptures and who are studying it and who are just loving and worshiping and adoring Jesus, right? The result is that they are actually convicted of sin and they fall on their face. And verse 25 says they declare God really is among them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's so crucial, you know, like similar to like Moses in Deuteronomy, who's like, God, if your presence doesn't go with us into the promised land, like how will we be distinct? How will we be distinguished among the nations? So I think that's also my heart. I know your heart, just our leadership here at Church on Bayshore, to see this community be like, man, God is among us. Yeah. We have communion with him and he's actually here. Yeah. He's still changing lives through the blood of Jesus, and praise be to God, you know? Yeah. So
preach. Glory. Good job.
Glory.
Come on.
He's still rolling stones, as Mark Daigle would say. Lord, man, he is. He's still working.
Well, that is a great segue. So, Lauren Daigle, other composers. Uh-oh. We have a little game to play.
I've seen these on this show.
This is actually your final test.
Oh man,
these are a little tricky though. So I tested this out on another staff member, and they got almost all of them wrong. So don't worry if you don't get them. But this is going to be.
Still kept it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know. So this is it a worship song or a love song? Oh, you know.
But aren't all worship songs just love songs to Jesus?
Yes, so in some places it makes sense. In others you're like, oh, wow, that's a little weird. But okay. And then, I mean, I wasn't really, should I keep track or we'll just go
through it. Let's just see how many gets right. Okay. How many gets wrong.
Oh, I thought I was going to make you two.
Oh, we can do that. Sure. Well, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, let's do it. Oh, man. So I'll just go back and forth. And then bonus points if you know who actually sang it. But
okay.
Okay, Taylor Swift. I'm not really taking. Yeah.
There's probably a lot of Taylor Swift on here.
All right, this
in
first
honor
one
of our captain,
should be
James
easy.
Ross.
Okay, Justin, this is for you. Capture my heart again. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate.
Oh, that's worship song. That's Daryl Evans. Worship. That's Daryl Evans.
Okay. Was it Casting Crowns who wrote it? Or do they just sing it?
They just sing it.
Okay.
It's Daryl Evans.
Yeah. Good job. Yes. I don't know.
I miss that song.
Here, maybe I should write it.
Spread wide in the arms of
this
Christ.
Is about to happen.
Yeah, we're going to be singing every song, so just get ready.
Good job. All right. Here's the next one. PT, this is for you. I think I love you, but I want to know for sure.
Oh. That has to be not worship.
Correct. Wild Things.
Well, I don't know. Sing it, Kelly.
No. I'm not
like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, okay.
Remember that part? Is it the beginning?
That does sound like it could, like, somebody wrote that in, like, 2011 at, you know.
Lord help us.
Trying to be the next Hillsong, like, oh, I'll just get right this next.
Probably. There's some more on here. Oh, so, all right, it's tied so far. All right, Justin. As I feel your touch, you bring freedom to all that's within.
Oh, I'm like gagging.
That is worship.
I do think
I'm sad to say.
That sounds like a worship song. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Top three at
Pour Out My Heart.
That was one of ours. What song is it?
Pour Out My Heart by Craig Massow.
I don't know that one.
Something like that.
I don't know. Okay. I just, one, I'm not naturally a touchy person. Like, so this is like when I hear, like, your touch, I'm like,
when you hear songs like that.
Yeah.
Weird.
I mean, I like physical affection. I don't know. It's just,
yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
All right. This one's probably pretty easy. A sloppy wet kiss and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
That's worship for sure. That's John Mark McMillan.
Yeah.
And then you had, like, David Crowder and others who kind of cleaned it up with.
Yeah. Unforeseen Kiss.
I mean, if you go and you look at John Mark McMillan, you know, describing that song, it's
makes sense.
It makes sense. But still, it is quite the imagery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lay back against you and breathe.
Oh, that's worship.
Hear your heart.
That's Carrie Job.
This love is, wow. Good job. I was kind of like, wow.
The more I see you, the more I find you.
This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand.
Yeah. That's Carrie Job. I do know that one. I want to at your feet. Drink from the cup of your hand. Lean up against you and
breathe. You
feel your heartbeat. The verse is actually, good. It's like, the more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. That part's great.
Mm-hmm. And you can tag that.
Yeah.
But like,
you know,
some of these
I have
you
actually used
just...
that verse in a tag of
that's true.
Something else.
Yeah.
But right. Not here.
Okay, PT. I can feel you breathe. It's washing over me. Suddenly, I'm melting into you.
I mean, again, I'm sad
you
to say.
You let that one time, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. That is contemporary worship.
It's actually a love song.
Aww.
Faith Hill.
Breathe. Well, that's close enough.
It basically, is. Country music is worship song. I'm just
kidding.
Yeah. Oh,
man. That is a joke. Just to be clear.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, Justin, we're going all the way, and the wonder of it all is that I'm living just to fall more in love with you.
That's definitely like Hillsong United in like 2012.
You're probably
we're going
close.
All the way.
It's Deeper by Delirious.
Oh, okay.
Once you get the worship, song, then you're like, oh, now it's a fast song.
That just sounds
like
a lyric of theirs.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
From back in the when they're at the height of things with Inside Out, Mighty to Save, and that would have fallen on the heels of that.
Yeah. Mm. 2012. That's
Mighty
all right.
To Save was
that's
a great
song.
Bring it back.
From the Inside Out, it's a great song. Mm.
Mm. Okay, PT, your love is one in a million. It goes on and on and on. You give me a really good feeling all day long.
Yeah.
Golly, that sounds like Brandon Lake. that's a secular song.
Good. Aaliyah, One in a Million.
Oh, man.
Like your daughter, Aaliyah?
No, that's your... the...
Oh. It's like, oh, Aaliyah wrote that?
Aaliyah.
Wow.
No. Okay. My first, my last, my everything, the answer to all my dreams.
That's
you might be surprised.
I think that's a love song.
Yeah, Barry White.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good, because that's the answer.
Oh,
all.
Man, Barry
I mean,
White.
Yeah, I guess he's the answer, but like, what kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
You could theologically dissect that.
Okay, a couple more.
That's so bad.
We should do that sometime. That would be a great episode.
Dissect.
We should take all these that are like love songs and like. Sing them on a Sunday, like in what? Like a new. We're going to teach you guys.
Make it a
we're
going
to teach
song.
You guys a new song to see what people do.
People, I don't know.
People
PT's
would
like,
begin
not
to walk
me.
Out.
I know you're the executive pastor here, but I'm going to go ahead and make an executive decision and veto that.
When I say we should do that, I mean we should never do that. But like, imagine doing that.
It would be
and,
funny.
Like people would just stare.
Yeah.
Just like what's happening.
What's happening?
Like people would be.
I already feel uncomfortable.
Sometimes some of them already are staring. So there would definitely be a lot of the folding of arms.
The folding
like,
arms. Yeah.
I doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one. The colors of the morning are in your eyes. Mm.
That's Phil Wickham.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd never heard
beautiful.
That one before.
Oh, that's a great song.
I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
There is a there's I can't remember if that's the verse that I don't appreciate on that song, but it's that's a good one.
Yeah,
it's not like a corporate worship song, I would say, but it is like a sweet like song. You listen to.
Yeah, sometimes you need the context of the whole song. Yeah, it's helpful.
Yeah, that's a good
all right, Justin.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Begging for you to take my hand and wreck my plans.
That wow,
that's a scary prayer.
Yeah, wreck. Now
could
that
be a prayer, right?
I feel like that was a word that would have been like, yeah, let's put that word.
Wreck
like,
my plans.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, so I'm going to go with worship song.
It's actually Taylor Swift.
Oh, awesome. James Ross would have gotten that one. Right. I basically know Love
He's
Story.
He's shaking his head right now as he was.
He's like, how failed. I only know, like, Love Story I've heard. That's the only song I could sing to you.
No way.
That's a great song.
That's the only one you know from
I mean,
T-Swift.
I know, like, names are like I hear it and I'm like, oh, that's I hear it, I know it's her, but
right.
I didn't, it's like no, my 9-year-old daughter loves it. She does. Joanna loves it. I mean,
the
eight,
third graders
she's eight
like
oops
Taylor
I'm sorry
Swift
I got her age wrong she's eight
enough.
Come on,
I got too many kids to know their ages right all the time.
Gosh. All right, last one. PT, I don't want a surface relationship, I want more than this.
Ooh, what you got?
Worship.
Yep.
Yeah. What is that?
It says song by SEU.
Oh,
Worship.
Oh,
that's
Institute.
Southeastern
SEU.
University.
That's
there
what I was thinking.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all I did not keep score. I think it was pretty much a tie.
I think it was a tie. I think you missed one. I missed one. Hey, we're a good team. Look at that.
Y'all did a lot better than the staff other staff member, though. So
at our next staff meeting, right?
We are in the right field.
That's right.
It was the opposite. Everyone was opposite. They're kind of, you know, I could see it either way. But
hey, thanks for choosing songs that are biblically sound.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks for being here.
Love
and
it.
But, PT, why do you hate hymns?
About you.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, just kidding. You
he
don't.
Does not,
he doesn't hate
actually.
Hymns. That's a joke.
Man, I grew up only singing how to hymn books.
That's a joke.
I'm going to try and bring it
memorized.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, that was a joke for those of you who are still.
I love hymns.
We do love some hymns.
It's a joke. All right. Sorry to interrupt your
conclusion
here.
No, that's fine. I'm just going to conclude. This was a great episode. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.